chapter 3?
Yes.
Amen. Just have one verse for you today. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, the 17th verse. One verse. This verse should encompass the length and breadth of our conversation this morning. The salutation of Paul, with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. In mine own hand. Paul said, I'm putting my, in my own hand. This is in every epistle. That's how I do in every epistle. I'm going to every epistle with my own hand.
Yes.
So I write. I put a tag on his chest. I wrote this letter.
All right.
Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I wrote this letter. It is widely argued and discussed by scholars of the New Testament, along with its immediate predecessor, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, are endeavored to be Paul's first foray into the writings of the epistles of the New Testament. First ones he wrote, the first book he wrote. Long before there was Romans, Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians, or Corinthians, Paul sat down along the meandering roads where he made tents and etched upon parchment the words of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. These words a prophet to the world, an offer to the believer and the church at a time when Paul was in many respects still finding his voice. For you do understand that the first time you do something ought not to be the best you do something.
All right, now, say it back.
Between the first and the last time that you endeavor to do anything, there ought to be growth and development.
All right.
Yes.
And so when we come to Thessalonians, we come to the emergence of Paul's ministry. And when I say that to you, do not take it lightly.
Yes.
Do not underestimate what I have just said. Consider me, if you will, the truth that Thessalonians does not contain the rich and soaring theology and jewels of Romans. In the books of Thessalonians, you don't have the audacious, autobiographical fervor of Galatians. In Thessalonians, you don't have the loving inflections of Philippians. All of that will come later. When we read Thessalonians, we are entering into Paul's theological mind and his voice. This is the birth, the nadir, if you would call it, if you will, of the formation of his mind. It is a truth that we must embrace, and it is this. None of us started where we are right now.
Amen.
All of us had to have had a beginning.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And it is a melancholy truth.
Yeah.
Whenever you meet someone, you are always meeting at least two people.
Say it,
Beth. Did y'all hear me?
Yeah.
When you meet a person for the first time, it's just not one person. It's two people.
Wow.
Everybody got a twin. You have the you that you are now.
Well.
And you have the you that you used to be from where you came from. Should I say that again?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The you are now, that's one person.
Yes, sir.
And the you used to be and where you came from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
All of us have a moment of spiritual emergence. It is what we call in philosophy the genealogy of self. It is how the mind is created and the heart, the soul, how the gift that God deposited in you is produced.
Yes.
Wow.
Understand that when we come in here, we must be cognizant of the fact that you are sitting next to people who have not always been in church.
Amen.
Do I have to say that again? Be cognizant when you come in church, you're sitting next to someone who's not always been in church.
Amen.
That's why every now and then they'll have a flashback and act out a character. That's why the Lord will have us come in and look at Thessalonians to see the beginning of Paul's mind.
Yes, sir.
So that the next time you walk in the church with your nose stuck up in the air, you will be reminded that if Paul had a beginning, then God knows the person next to me must have had a beginning.
Yeah.
Do you know how much grace it took to get you here? Do you know how much grace and mercy it took for God to get you us where we are? Do you know how much love it takes to turn a boy into a man? Do you know how much mercy it takes to make a girl into a woman? Do you understand all the investment God has made to make into making you into what you are right now? No, y'all don't know. Take it for granted. That is why inch by inch and day by day, God has been putting the finishing touches on your life. And you do yourself a disservice to sit here and act like you have always been this wonderful and always been this special. Y'all ain't got to get happy. I'm going to preach to myself. This is a narrative theology. It is an embodied soteriology, theology. That's the theology of Christ. So what the mind forgets, you might have forgotten that you was raggedy.
Come on now.
The body still remembers. The years you spent in the mud, the years you spent in darkness, praying in homelessness, the years you spent believing in poverty, the years you spent forming and fashioning yourself in the wee hours of the night when nobody would believe that you was going to be somebody. People see the butterfly now fly, Sister Thomas, and look at it, look so good. It ain't got nothing to do with the wind while the butterfly fly. It's the time the butterfly spent as an ugly caterpillar in the mud. You gotta make a butterfly fly.
Yeah.
That's right, I came from somewhere. That's why comparing yourself to other people is an insane proposition. Insane. None of the people in here can handle half the stuff you have to deal with to get here. Am I here by myself?
Amen.
Y'all with me, right?
Amen.
Nobody can handle what you went through to get where you ought to be you.
Amen. Amen. That's all right.
That's why I teach y'all New Jerusalem. Don't you dare sit in here and judge each other.
Amen.
How dare you judge someone for something you just got delivered from yourself?
Amen.
You might not like the way I praise and worship my God, but this praise, your praise, has a history. It has a struggle. Y'all heard me? Your praise has a history and a struggle. The praise you got came through abuse, rape, drug rehabilitation, rejection, backstabbing, starving, poverty, homelessness, heartbreaking suffering. When you see somebody praising God, how dare you judge them? You had no what their praise came from. It is here that you must understand that people are always more beautiful when you see them in context. Y'all know the word context mean, right? In their own environment.
Yes.
Help me, Lord. The beauty of somebody cannot be discerned by the moment you encounter them.
That's right.
I'm more deeper than that.
Be
somebody. Yeah. You think you can see me walk with me, say a few words, and you know you don't know me?
Alright.
Just because I come in and preach, you know, that's what I do, that's what I'm calling. But you don't know me. You don't know how I love, like to eat, live, and roll. You don't know me. And just anybody just can't be with me.
Yeah.
Oh, let me stop.
Amen.
To understand the genuine nature of someone's beauty, you must see them in the constellation of their past. So it is here that we turn to Thessalonians. And we realize that it is the making of Paul's mind. His mind is not yet fully formed. Please understand me. Great minds are not born. They are formed. I know you heard a different problem. Nobody's born great. You must become great.
Right. Yeah.
Thessalonians is not an impressive book. Yeah, I said it. That's why most of you could not find it. When I told you the text this morning, you couldn't find it. You used to go to Romans, Philippians, and Corinthians. Most of you have not heard a lot of sermons from Thessalonians. There are not a lot of what we call jewels in this book. Romans is the height of Paul's mind and spirit.
Yeah.
Paul's mind and spirit was on fire in the book of Romans. Paul said, be not conformed to this world. What you say? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing like Thessalonians.
Yes.
No.
What?
No. You just didn't start in Thessalonians.
Roman Paul is at the height of his genius.
Mm-hmm.
In Corinthians, check up Pastor Paul. In Corinthians, he goes to the 13th chapter and Paul takes us down deep into the mystery of love.
Yes.
Philippians. Ephesians, or the epistles to Timothy. This is the beginning of Paul's ministry. Thessalonians. His mind is in formation. He is struggling to find his voice. Yet in the middle of his work, here you go, y'all, watch this. That will be considered not his best. Paul still says, I write and put my name on it. Watch him go on some of this now. It was not my best work, but Paul says, I write my name on it.
Uh-huh.
I have lived long enough to know anybody will write their name on something that will make them look good. Anybody will put their name on things that will make people love you.
Yeah.
It takes a real man to put your name on parts of your life.
Yeah. Well,
I said book.
Well,
put your name on your life. That don't make you look good to anybody. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. You don't want nobody to know that. You ain't putting it, you want to put your name on what you got going right now. Paul said it's not Galatians, Romans. Not Galatians, not Romans. But I put my name on it. Because it's mine.
Well,
I like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I like people who don't need nobody to love them to like themselves. If you can't like yourself, I can't love you. Because I can't fulfill your needs because you're an empty, bottomless pit. And you have not found yourself yet. You better, you got to find yourself first before you. That's another class. Don't you let anybody come into your life and hold you hostage by making you ashamed of what you used to be. Don't let anybody come into your life and lock you into the worst 15 minutes you have ever had in the past. People want to condemn you because they know something you did back when. That's why I like Paul. Check this out now. In Galatians, they were saying he was not a real apostle. Because he had not seen the risen Lord. And he was not among the 12. And Paul says to them, hey, look. If you want to know, let me back this thing up a little bit. The reason why they say it is they know.